two of these. Yeah, you know what these mean. So this is Vision Day. It kind of works a little different than some of our normal services. So we're going to talk about vision today, where we're going, where we're heading. But this is a part of vision itself. We had talked last week what God has done in the last year. And we had our last two baptisms, so we were part of our vision. God would give us in 2 years 25 baptisms. Well, this is Vision Sunday. We either do it the second or third Sunday. But last week we finished that one right there in the moment, right there on the calendar. 25 baptisms in 2 years. So that is awesome. So Tom and Aaron, come on up. Where's Tom and Aaron? So when we first started, you guys come on up here on the stage. When we first started, we thought how we were going to do that. And so here you go, Aaron. Here is yours. Tom, here's yours. So will you guys go up there and just turn those two blank light bulbs and turn them to the right, and they will turn on. When we first started, it was a blank. It was just 25 light bulbs with no lights on it. There we go. Good job, guys. All right. Thank you. So, 25 baptisms in 2 years. That is awesome. That is definitely, and that's something that we do. That's the things that we pray about in our time and in our vision is things that we really can't do. We might be able to do a little bit of it, but we can't make it happen. So we don't put things on the vision list if we can do them in our own strength. We put them on there because we need God to do it. And so spend time over this list, and we're going to go through this here in a little bit. So basically, I'm going to give you some scripture here. I'm going to share a couple of things with you, and then I'm going to share with you four things that we need to do as a collectively as a church. And then I'm going to share with what we are going to pray and fast for. So fasting, prayer and fasting starts tomorrow, and we'll be praying and fasting over these things that we're talking about this morning. But that time will be from, as Ashley says, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. I try to make it to where people can do it. So many people have health issues and can't do full 3 or 4 days like we used to, or 5 days. Those are very hard and very tough. And then people can't do them, and then they feel bad about it. And then they come, and they feel like if they couldn't do it all, they failed. And I don't want anybody to feel like a failure. If you can't do it all, and you can only just do one meal, well, you just do that one meal. I'm asking you to at least sacrifice at least one meal and pray over the list. Whether you may not be able to do it all day, but you may say, you know what, I'm going to pray and fast just for breakfast. I'm okay with that. But for the rest of you, we're going to go from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And don't come up and ask me, can I have a pop, can I have Gatorade or whatever. You do what you got to do, okay? I'm trying to get you to pray, and I'm trying to get you to experience what fasting is. I'm not going to be all tight on all the rules and guidelines of that. I think really just if we're going to spend more time in prayer, I think God is happy about that. But also know that we do need to put some effort into fasting from time. I'm telling you, when a church learns to fast, you see God move. Something about sacrificing, and some of us probably haven't fasted since last year, but also in August we do one more. We do a Remembrance Sunday where we remember what we've been praying for all throughout the year, and then we pick a one day in the summer that we do fast again. But so I want to share with you, last week we shared a scripture with you in Joshua chapter 10. It is a God thing, and it's only a God thing that this can happen. Chapter 10, verse 12, we were talking about Joshua, and the enemies were coming. Five kingdoms were coming at God's people. And I had read that one verse on verse 12 on the day that the Lord gave the Amorites over to the Israelites, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the presence of Israel, sun stand still over Gibeon and moon over the valley of Ajalon. So we were sharing about what all, that you don't pray a prayer like this unless you've been somewhere. You can't pray a prayer like this, and you can't speak, and you can't testify and share it in front of the public unless you have confidence in God and you have faith in God. So Joshua shared that, and in this battle he prayed and he was speaking to God in front of the Israelites that the sun would stand still and the moon would stand still. And so we stopped there and we went through all the things that Joshua had went through and what brought him up to this moment. Because again, you can't pray like this unless you have some faith and you've got some history of seeing God move. But also we went through what God has done for New Life in the last 12 months. And it was a good list. Amen. We saw the finishing of these 25 baptisms. And that is really good. Now today we're going to move into a little bit in the same story. We're talking here again. And I'm going to read in the same chapter, just the next verse 13. So after Joshua's request, it says, "And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped until the nation took vengeance on its enemies. Isn't this written in the book of Jashar? The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed its setting almost a day. There's been no day like it before or since when the Lord listened to a man because the Lord fought for Israel. Then Joshua and all Israel with him returned to the camp in Gilgal." Father, as we break into your word, I pray, Lord, your spirit will be upon us in a way that we know that you're here. That we may know that what you've called us to look forward to here in the near future, this year. May we learn from your scriptures. May we learn that we might apply these things in our own lives. Give us this moment that our eyes might be and ears might be attentive to what you have for us today. In Christ's name, amen. So what we see here, that we see that Joshua is praying in this moment. They are taking the land. God has given them the land, but they still have to do their work. I want to remind you that it isn't just about praying for something. You still have to do what you can do in your strength. You are called still to move forward and do the work. You can't sit on the hill and just expect God to part everything and just bring you from one place to another. You are supposed to put your faith in action. That is your faith. You believe and you put your faith in the Lord, but you have to put your faith in action. But what we see here is this man prayed that God would stop the sun and the moon. Now, scientists today have found a way to figure out that, yeah, there was a moment that this happened. Isn't it amazing? But I am not a scientific person, so I'm not going to get all into that. But I won't talk about what we see here in the Word. But it was always amazing to hear that. But what we see here is a part that the sun did stop and the moon did stop its delay. All this stuff stopped. But it says it's when the Lord listened to a man. This was the day that the Lord listened to a man. There is something here that God has done that we haven't read about yet. You see, they're doing what they're called to do. They are taking the land. They're in this battle. They got an enemy that's fighting them. There's five kings, five kingdoms. And there are really, it's a tough fight. It's a tough fight. But I believe when you put your faith in God, as we read in Scripture, God does more than we ask for so many times. They didn't ask God to do this, but God does it anyway. If you back up into verse 11, here we find that the enemy, so when you read Scripture, sometimes it's telling you the story, and then it throws something back in, and then it throws something, you just got to read it. They put it all comes together. But as they fled before Israel, the enemy, the Lord threw large hailstones on them from the sky along the descendants of Beth-horon all the way to Hezekiah, and they died. More of them died from the hail than the Israelites killed with the sword. God could have just did it all with the hailstones, but he didn't. They listened to a man, asked the request, and God gave it. Listen, when you're doing what God calls you to do, it's not that you're a favorite of God, but you can't have favor with him. The prayers of a righteous man does avail very much. Scripture tells us. When you are living the life that God's called you to do, it doesn't mean you're perfect, but you are trying to live it. You are having a relationship with God, and it is where it is, and you are in his will. You cannot help but see God move. And people want to know why they don't see God move. And sometimes it's because you're not in his will. You're asking him to get on your plan, but he says, no, you need to get on my plan. So we see that God threw hailstones. He's throwing them. Now he's just not dropping them. He's throwing them. Basically, get away from my people. get away from my people, not on my people, and not on my people. And he's throwing them down. Big, large hailstones that kill all these people. What an amazing testimony to see all this is going on. Through this day, you see hailstones falling, but they don't fall on you, but they fall on your enemy. You see the sun standing still, making the day longer for the battle. You're seeing the moon's not coming out like it's supposed to. Man, God is in control of the universe. He's in control of the weather. Why is it so hard for you and I to think that God can't handle something we have in our life? He's holding the stars. It's holding the moon back. Not today. Not right now. He's holding the sun. You stay right where you are, Mr. Sun. And he's throwing all these hailstones. He's hailed right on these people. We think God can't handle cancer. We think God can't heal our broken heart. We think God can't heal and help us with our finances. Let me tell you something about finances, because that's the biggest worry people have. Let me tell you about finances. You get your life right with God, I'm going to tell you something about your finances. It doesn't matter what you make, he'll make it last enough. And then when he decides to give you prosperity, praise him for it. God has a way of making $20 last longer for his person than it is for the person who's not following him. I'm just saying. How did we get here? I was supposed to go to Indianapolis, and my car only gets 15 miles at a gallon. We don't have enough. How did we get there? A person who knows the Lord says, Lord, I don't know if I got enough, but I'm going to pray about that. God has a way of making what you have last longer. And if you don't believe it, all you got to do is read the previous story when they were out in the desert wandering for 40 years and their sandals and their clothes never wore out. God knows how to do that, and God knows how to do all of it. I could just imagine being there at that moment. This is one of the moments that we don't talk about even in church much, where the sun stands still and the moon stands still and God's throwing down hailstones. God's holding the whole universe. He's taking charge. It is his world. And you're living in it. And I'm living in it. So if I can trust him as I live in his world, I should probably expect God to see God move. We've got to quit putting God on a shortchange and thinking he can't do much. We shared last week what God has done in the last year. And we don't have time to go over those. But two of those I will share is one is the baptism. I thought that was an amazing piece. He does it right up to the moment. He shows himself in exact form, 25 in 2 years, exactly. 2 years ago on Vision Day, 2 years later, 25. That's only God can do that. Now, some people's minds are thinking, well, how, don't think about it. You trust the Lord with it. We ask God to have our attendance grow from last year. And our last year attendance was 68. Last year it's 85. So 2 years ago, when we first started, a year ago, when we had our vision, we asked God that we would increase our church numbers. And there has to be a reason and purpose, and we talked about those. From 68 to 85, that became our new average, is 85. I don't care what the books say. I don't care what all the conferences say. You can't make a church grow. You can only plant and you can only water. God is the one that gives us growth. It's very simple. It's scriptural. God wants the church to stay at 25 and meet 25 and be very transitional. It's probably going to stay 25. He wants the church to go to 3,000 if they're in his will. And he wants it to be 3,000 and they follow. And remember, you've got to do things God's way. He'll let it be 3,000. Sometimes he'll even do more. Sometimes he'll discipline and cause a little bit more. God is in control. But as a pastor, I prayed over some things here. Looking and reminding myself and the scripture showing me things of the Lord that he has done. So when I read that God stopped the sun, he stopped the moon in place, and he can throw hailstones whenever he wants, and his own timing, then we ought to, I ought to be able to trust God with this church here and what He wants for us in 2023. I hope you agree that He is capable of any and all things. Four things I want to share that we just need to do here through my prayer, my time in prayer with the Lord is this. Number one, this is things that, these are four things that we need to work on. Then I'm going to give you the list that we're going to pray and fast over. But these are things that we can do within our own hearts. These are things that we can do as believers. Number one is we need to pray more here at the church and individuals. We need to pray more. Now, I don't know if you got a book, but you got a book. You might have the report. It's going to be in there under the pastor's report. It's what we can do. It's on page 7 if you have it. But it is pray more. We must get back to making prayer important in all that we do. We have to make sure that we are praying more. We need to pray more individually, but we just need to pray. I need to pray more. And when you're praying, be more specific, and there's some things there. So we're trying to infiltrate prayer in all that we do. Number two is praise. We need to get to the next level. We'll talk about that in a minute, but we want to take praise to the next level in the best ability that we can. We've tried and we're struggling with it, but we're working and we're doing that. Three is to prepare. All these start with P. So prepare, which means we need to work at it with all our heart. One thing around here, and I am guilty of it as much as anyone else is that we do too much from the hip, and we need to be more prepared in what we do. And it's not just me. We got to stop leaving things laying around. We got to make sure that we're ready to go. If we're done with something, we need to get it and move on to the next. And we need to be more prepared. Kind of like your own house, right? You ever see a project that sits around not done? Yep. Oh, he's an honest man. Yeah, there's another one. We all do that, right? So we do that. So we need to make sure that we are preparing, that we prepare, okay? And then you can read that piece there. When we do things, we need to do it as unto the Lord, right? So we need to work and do it as unto the Lord. Now be careful that you're not pointing fingers at other people. You need to be looking at yourself, all right? And number four, the last P would be participate. You need to serve in the church in some capacity, but not in all capacities. No one can do it all. Participation from church family is important. If we're going to grow, we need to make sure our roles are taking place and everyone has a part in that. And sometimes it talks about some other things. It doesn't mean you have to have a weekly responsibility, but it does mean, like when we do the meal ministry or whatever, there is a church meal ministry night that we have in the church. I'm going to say it like this. Me and Carla do one on Thursday, but nobody's asked us about our Thursday nights. Sometimes we do come up short, but everybody wants to go to the church one, and that's great. You need to. But I'm telling you, there's two nights we kind of do. Now, we do partner with another church on it. Sometimes they come in lacking, but we get it. Here's the thing. You don't know until you ask. Okay? You don't know until you ask. If you want to help more in the meal, just go over and talk to Bob. Talk to Susan a little bit about it. And there's always opportunities. And so between participation, to participate, prayer and praise, and to praying more, those are things that we need to work on as a church. We need to work on those as individuals. Okay? And we're going to get that opportunity for praying starting tomorrow. Well, you should be praying sometime today. When you go to lunch, you should pray. If you go out to eat, pray in public. Let people know. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Pray where you are. Pray in those meal times. It's a great opportunity. But again, tomorrow we start a major time of prayer and fasting. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're doing it for 4 days this year. Okay? So I want to get to you with the little less time I've got here. 7 things I want to share with you. Of course, there's always number 8. 8 is always yourself. I want to get that one out of the way. This is a time of prayer and fasting. If you have something that you cannot fix, you can't do on your own, you need a door open in your life, you're not sure of something, you got some questions, this is the time for you to throw it in to the prayer and fasting. Bring it to the Lord tomorrow. Pray and fast over it. Pray and fast over it. If it's important, I know this, if something's important, you'll give time to it. If something's important, you'll work through the best way you can. If something's important for you, if you want to join a gym, you got to pay money. You want your car washed, you want your car to look nice, you got to pay to get it clean, unless you do. But you want to move food, you got to pay for it. You got to invest in it. And if it's your prayer, if it's your request with God, you got to invest in it. This means you've got to spend time in it. You've got to maybe fast. Read a little bit of the Word. You've got to put something into it. So I want to share with some things here. Now, these are the seven things that we're going to pray and fast over. We're going to ask because we cannot do any of these on our own. We need to have the Lord involved in these. And these are the seven things because this church, maybe 12 years ago, it wouldn't have been seven, but we grow in all that we do. We have a list of seven today for this year. Number one, there's no particular order. Number one is a praise band. Now, I know some of you play instruments. You're really holding back. I'm just saying, be patient. Letting the Lord try to work some things in this. That was part of the praise on the other side, wasn't it? That was part of the pray and praise, prepare and participate. That was number two, praising at the next level. Been wanting a praise team for a long time. Can't seem to get it up. But this year, for the first time, we're putting it on the list in the prayer part. This is going to take some time. It's going to take some patience. I guarantee you, if there's any arguments in this church, it'll be right there. But it's worth the battle. It's worth it. I want to remind you, if you play music, you ain't as good as those in heaven. I'm going to tell you that right now. There's a band in heaven. Oh, my gosh. Blows out the gate, blows us away. They got voices that'll blow us away. And they sing the perfect. Hallelujah. 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 And they're flying around. Hallelujah. And they're right there. And I'm telling you what, God has the best of the best of those who can sing and praise. And it's all around the throne. You know what God is looking for when it's a praise team and praise band on earth? He's looking at this. We're looking for this, but He's looking for this. If this ain't right, let me tell you, I know enough pastors of churches, and I've seen churches fall because of adulterous affairs, great piano players, great guitar, great worship leaders, and Satan loves to go in that direction and tear it apart. Lust and adultery and those kind of things. When that starts up, I guarantee you this, I will watch and I will be praying over that constantly. But we are hitting the ceiling, folks. And we are ready to move to live music. Can we get an amen? Amen. It's going to be a little more commitment. It's going to take a little more time, but it should be worth it. Which means somebody might have to step out of something else, which means open the door for someone else to serve somewhere else so that we can make this and write. That's number one, praise band. Not in any particular order, but it will be on the list. Number two, that New Life Fellowship will physically grow. Healthy things grow. Now, some things, if you look at bamboo, it takes a long time for bamboo to grow. But when it gets up there, it's solid and hard. But we're going to ask God to continue to give us growth physically. There's 17,000 people in the city of Huntington. Now, all of our people don't come from Huntington. But I looked at our attendance and I did some calculation. And it looked like we are 0.5%. We are 0.5% of the population of Huntington. Now, we get people from Fort Wayne, we get people from Andrews, we got people from Dippus, we got people from Bluffton, we got people from Columbia City, we got people from all over the place. Not that we're doing what another church is doing, but I was always amazed at a couple of churches out west where they actually, their thing is they tithe the people of the city. They tithe 10%. And God gave them that. Isn't that amazing? We're a 0.5%. A full percent would be 170. 1%. Been doing this for 20 years now. Why can't we be 1%? 1% of the population. If another church could do 1% and another, and maybe together we might get 10%. Maybe we can get 20%. So it's not that we're just to grow to be boastful, but that we're actually making an impact in the community. Which means things change a little bit. You might not get to know everybody. Somebody might take your... Right now, a lot of y'all sit in the same seats. You might come in, somebody might be in that seat you sit in, and you're going to have to bump and move. And if you get over in my spot, that's great. I'll move over here. And if there isn't a spot, I'll stand up in the back. There's no names on the pews. Amen? All right. So, we all good for New Life Fellowship that we will physically grow? For a biblical and godly reason. Amen? Number three, that the Children's Life House on 414 Byron Street, which is on the same block, it's right next to the Women's Life House with the office over there, that the Children's Life House will open in 2023. Nothing is worse than having an empty building. And God's already paid for it. He's already paid for it. It's amazing. So we're going to pray that God will let that open in 2023. And I want to give you a plug. So far as I'm going to be talking to our board here soon, but I did talk, and I think one of the things I'd like to see is when we have our banquet, our spring banquet for the ministries. And listen, if you don't go to that, you need to go to that if you can. But we're looking at bringing in the director of DC Child Department of Services being our speaker, our key speaker of why that house needs to open. So also, Children's Life House, amen? Open it this year. Number four, empty buildings are struggles. Number four, an old church building across the street will have its purposes and phase plans to complete. That's a little more difficult. We got some ideas and plans on that. Looking forward to seeing. We have some teams. We have some mission teams that are planning on coming. What's amazing was I've been thinking, Lord, what do you want out of this? We can't fix this building. But right now, I think we have three or four mission teams that have called me. Now, the great thing is I haven't had to call any of them. They've already called and wanted to be a part of what we're doing this year. It's funny. Last summer, we couldn't get really anybody. But this year, and we got the big team coming, the big one, the muscles is coming from Peoria, Illinois. 40 to 60 muscle, get it done. When they leave, they make the biggest impact I've ever seen. And they got groups that it's very hard to keep up with them. It's so hard to keep up with them. And they come in and they are on it. So we have to have plans for them. But the old church building across the street, there's opportunities and ideas that's coming across. Been praying about it. And that's something we just have to keep praying that God will nail down the purposes and what is there. There's five or six things, but just got to keep praying over that. And number five, let me back up. Four is with the old church building, we know that God had, we didn't get that for free, but we got it on a short sale for $20,000. Still paying a little bit on that, but it's just what was going to go in there was not what we wanted, what was in there, and then they left, and Bob had said, hey, it's up for sale. We use it, anybody can park over there, it's our parking lot, so county wanted to buy it. And they wanted to offer us $20,000. They were going to tear it down and put parking in it. But the parking lot is not as big as y'all think it is. That parking on the railing, that's not ours. There's actually an alley that goes through there. So we don't have that much parking over there. So basically, they was going to allow us to just park there. But then again, they were going to have to put green space in. And they were actually, I believe, they were going to lose the little parking over there. So what really made sense to us is why would we give something away? And now we went to phase one, is done, is the roof over there. Got a new roof, it's 2 years old. So we're pretty excited to see what God does with that. So we good with that, with the old church building? We're going to pray and fast over that, amen? All right, we here this morning, amen? Amen? So remember, this is still the same God that stops the sun. This is still the same God that stops the moon. This is the one that can drop hailstones down. This is the same God that opens up the Red Sea, opens up the Jordan Sea, causes the walls of Jericho to fall down, feeds people in the desert and gives them meat to eat, brings water from the rocks, puts the plagues on the Egyptians. Man, he's awesome. Is he not awesome? And by the way, he even knows how to walk on water. Woo, what a God we serve. Amen. And if you know him real close, when you were in the hospital or someone you loved or you were having a baby and you didn't think you were going to make it, he was even in that room. Even in the room when you know that your loved one, like when my daddy passed, I knew he was in the room. He's a good God. And I love him for who he is and what he is and just allowing us to be a part of it. Number five. Oh boy. Number five. It is the sun stands still for us. It is that New Life Ministries funds will be blessed by God with $700,000 in 2023. $700,000. We were short $100,000 this last year, but we still maintained. God gave us $7,000 more in the church fund, but yet the church funds are really lacking because we paid cash for the gutters and we finished up the paint. We finished up what we could do in cash for the brick, and we still have a loan on that, but we're working on that one. But the $700,000. It's not that you just throw $700,000 on it. It's got a purpose. So our budget for the ministries is about $400,000. Can we do it less than that? Yeah. But you got to put a number down. You got to put something down. The $700,000, and people, you know, even with the ministries, and I'll let you know, it's not my wages, like my raising my wages here. I make about $16,000 in the ministries. So $700,000 is not going in anybody's pocket. But your pastor has an eye on two buildings. It is an apartment complex that I'm tired of. I picked up a few needles in the alley, seeing people come out doing drug deals over there, and I want, and people are running around looking for housing. Some of our ladies or men may end up needing housing, can't get it because they are struggling with something. Maybe they have a family, but this is a 5 or 6 apartment complex. It's right behind the parking lot. Like to get that. I talked to that man earlier. I talked to him around October, and he also owns the house next door to the men's house. I've seen 2 people come out of there in body bags in my time of 20 years here. That house is always trouble. It's always problems. Doesn't mean the people are bad, just means there's problems. So would like to see us get that house and talk to them and talk to the owner about it. And he said, you know what, I've sold my houses. He goes, I do not like these apartment complexes. That's one I'd really like to get rid of. I said, well, he said, come back to me next year. And I said, well, I'm going to, but I'm going to pray about this. So what do you think? What do you think it would be? Just a ballpark figure. He said, in short, he said, I think you can probably walk away with both of those, maybe at 200, a little less than 200,000. So sometimes God says you got to pay for something. But then God brings the money in, like the 414 Byron, it was 65,000, and God took care of that. Yeah. Didn't have, yeah. It's amazing. So, $700,000. And if God doesn't let us buy the houses over there right now, we're going to throw money right into that building across the street. See what God does with it. So we good with about asking God for $700,000. Now, sometimes I know 2 people that would probably say, you didn't ask enough, and that would be Carla, because she never says, I ask the Lord enough, and Savannah, wherever she's at. Yeah, she goes, I think we're going to need more than that. See, Savannah's got in there and starting to see things, and she's starting to say, oh my, this is big. But it's $700,000. God has it. He's got it. Scripture says, ask and you shall receive, and I'm going to ask. And I'm asking you if you'll ask too. You ever went up to somebody and somebody says something and you're like wondering why they didn't help you, and then they found out you just wondering why they didn't help you, and they said, why didn't you ask? We Were you upset because somebody else got to borrow somebody's car? And you were struggling with the car, and you, the difference is that person asked, and you didn't. And sometimes God says no. And sometimes God says, not today. Not right now. It's coming. A couple things got to happen first. So what we're going to do is ask. We're going to ask, can we have a plan for it? Ooh, these are big, aren't they? The next one. We're doing what we can. Number six. Are we good with the 700,000? Amen? Okay. Number six. That is about the meal ministry, that we will serve weekday lunches Monday through Friday at noon. We got food. Why let it sit? Why end up throwing it away if you can't use it? Why have a building? There comes a moment where you start thinking how much things cost, and you wonder, what if we can open it up one more time during the day? And why not use it where it's being used, not just in the evening, but using God's building for even more? I don't know about you, but I eat three times a day. Most of the time, maybe I don't eat usually breakfast, but so we give an opportunity. And I don't want you to get discouraged if we see one person, because that's how we started, with one person. I know me and Bob had talked about this, and it was a conversation back in November. But right now, it looks like God is moving this. It's taken a little bit longer than we thought. We thought we might open it up a little bit after Thanksgiving, but there's a time frame and everything, and it looks like now, we're talking with Bob last week, it looks like we are going to open it up February 1st. Volunteers. We had to find the volunteers. If you want to volunteer, just get with Bob on that. We know a lot of you work. This is a working church for the most part. And it's hard when you're working day shift. You can't be there during the lunch times. But God has provided volunteers, and we're very thankful for that. So that might be our first one that God will give to us right in the first part of the year. So we're good with weekday lunches. Amen? And guess what? If you're in town and you want lunch, you can go right down there too. I just asked you to do this. If you go down there and you're a member, or you attend New Life, this church here, when you go down, sit with someone you don't know. Sit with someone and just talk with them. And be a good listener. Don't just be a talker. Just be a good listener. Some people are just looking for someone to talk to. And you'd be surprised what kind of conversations that you'll have. So, amen with the meal ministry lunches. Amen. Number seven. This is one that we're still working on here as well. We need God to intervene on it. Luke has went on down south with love, Luke and Amy. Sometimes I go, God, why did you bring somebody in for such a short time? And then take them away. They must be needed somewhere else. And I always remember this, we're all replaceable. And I miss them already. They're still in contact with us. Luke is the one that really did all of that work over there and finishing up all that. He's done some other things and just a very talented man. He'll come up when we need him. But we need to get these done. We need to get the balcony done over there. Then we need to finish this over here. There's some other things that we need to figure out up there. Offices. We're still working on some offices and space and the HVAC system. We need heating up there on the second floor. We need AC system on that side of the building. And we can't do any of that without God intervening, because we don't have the money for it. Two, we don't have all the work. We need God to intervene on that. And so what that does is that helps us with the other part of number two. We physically grow. If we ask God to ask us to physically grow, we're going to have a place to put everybody, because some of us like to have our own little spot. We like to be separate. Some of us like to sit close to people. Other people like to be a little bit, I like my comfort space, and we'll be able to have it up there. It'd be much nicer and have it over there so that we can have more seating. So to get the balconies done, to get all that done, we're going to ask God to bring in the people and the things that we need to get done with that. The good part is a lot of that shouldn't be super expensive. We just need people that are willing to get up scaffolding and go up there and do some painting, and some people that know how to do mudding. But a lot of people don't like heights. I get it. And so we're gonna ask God to bring in those teams and those people that we need. And so by the end of next year, we could be looking at ourselves as being more of a praying church, more people participating, that our praise will go to the next level, and that we'll be more prepared and more strategic on how we do things. And what we'll see God doing is bringing forth a praise band. That will be a praise band up here. And we may have to say, drummer, you got to keep it down a little bit. You got to be able to understand. We're not talking about you. We're just trying to help. Maybe we'll have to say, you have to bring this up. I can't hear. We're going to have to work through all of that. We're going to ask, we should see a larger number here of people, that the church is growing. We should see that we can hear from Trevor and Tabitha about what's happening over at the Children's Lifehouse, and when they bring whoever they have over here. Now listen, with this Children's Lifehouse, I need to get you straight, because some of you might be thinking the same thing that I was thinking. I thought we might be thinking about these down here. We're talking Little Miss Attitude. We're talking 14. I know everything, right? I'm 16. And being 16 years old and had so much pain and a broken heart and don't know what really love is. And God's going to let them come right here. Going to trust us. And I'm going to tell you something. You grandparents and you parents, you're going to have to give a little bit of that love to some others. Quit thinking about just your kids, your grandkids. You're going to have to share a little bit of that with some that may not look like us, may not even speak full English language. We don't know, but we just know that they're coming and God's bringing them. We're going to have to know our boundaries. But I'm telling you, love is awesome. And not everybody knows how to take love. So, we'll see that. That should be open this year. And that'll be awesome. We'll see that old church building over there starting to come in. We'll start to see, we kind of see a fog image. We see this image in the distance. And it's that old church building. But as you draw closer to it, you start to see more detail. And that's kind of where we are. We're getting closer to detail, and we'll see purposes. And next year, it will probably be in the vision and be so much stronger. This is something we've had to plant early. And then New Life Ministry funds, we'll see what God does with that. And then we're going to see that we're going to get to hear some things of what's happening at the lunch time at the meal ministry. I'm excited about that. And then looking around here, instead of our church looking all dingy, we should have something done over here, starting to look, what are we going to do now with the center? So can we pray that God will just stop the sun for a moment at New Life? Ask God to stop the moon for a minute at New Life. And we're going to do what we can do. But then we're going to ask God to throw the hailstones down. Sometimes it's in the form of money, whatever it may be. Or maybe it's in the form of just musicians or help, contractors, whatever it may be. You know, when Moses stood before the Red Sea, everybody wanted to turn around and go back. You've seen what God done in the past, but sometimes it isn't always about what God's done in the past. It's what's God doing. What's He doing right now? And you know, we saw some contractors come to this church, and it cost us about $30,000, but they did so much work extra. They boarded up the building across the street. They took down that old chimney, which cost us $5,000 here to take that one down over there. They did it for free. They did some tuck work. They did some work over on this side of the church. They did so much. They never charged us for. They just asked us to give them a statement that they donated. And we signed off on it, and it was great. You know, Joshua saw that moment. He got to walk across the Red Sea. But again, he came up to the Jordan River and got it again. We're going to have to ask God to do it again over there. I don't think God minds doing it again. We just have to have faith. We have to do what we can do. And we have to pray over it. So, church, these are the things that we're going to pray for. And we're going to fast for. starting tomorrow for the next 4 days. You have a paper. Hopefully you have one. If you don't, we can get you this sheet somehow, and you can have it so you don't forget and to pray over it. Are we ready for this? We put them down in such good detail this year that it will be noticeable when God does it. Amen. Now you got to remind me when these things happen. We don't celebrate enough here. So you got to remind me when one of these happen that we really celebrate it, that we get excited about it, and we praise God for it. Folks, we're getting ready to go into a time of communion. Because we can get excited about things, and I am. I'm excited, but we always have to go back and remember, why are we doing what we're doing? Who are we doing? Who are we doing it with, and who are we doing it for? It all comes down and back to the same person. Jesus. My Savior and your Savior. God's one and only Son who gave His life so that we might have life. I'm going to read something very familiar to many of you. I'm going to read the last part first. The first part last. So then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself in this way. Let him eat the bread and drink from the cup. Whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. We've just asked We're asking God to intervene in our life, in our church life, to do 7 major things. God wants us to remember a thing that He's done today. But the Scripture says we are to examine ourselves. I got the guys coming down here. We're going to do communion. And I want you to go ahead and take this time to pray. The Scripture says we are to examine ourselves, and we should pray before we pray over the bread and the drink here. We should pray for our hearts and ourselves and our own soul as individuals in our relationship with the Lord. So go ahead and do that right now. We give you that time to pray.